Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Steve Stone.
Hello.
White Sox analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
People don't realize that wrapped in that very small body has got the hands and wrists and forearms of giants.
Former Cy Young winner.
Steve Stone is in town as a broadcaster with White Sox television. Of course, he set the Orioles franchise record with 25 wins and winning the Cy Young Award in 1980.
Predictor of outcomes.
They've been trying to keep a lot of pitches away from Jose Abreu tonight. I'm thinking this is a really good matchup with him and Otero. Let's see if he gets careless with one.
In the air left field. Allen back at the warning track. It is gone!
Steve Stone with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
It is Steve Stone time. I'm Mark Grody filling in for the Dan Bernstein Show. This is the final Dan Bernstein Show ever. This is it. So I am here for it. It makes sense. It really does. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Joe O gambling with us in about 25 minutes, and Steve Stone, who does join us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And Steve, I'm sorry, the Dan Bernstein Show, Dan Bernstein is not here today for his final show, but we can rejoice without him here on the final day of the show.
Okay, well, I'm here, you're here, and it's called the next man up philosophy.
that is very well put. Next man up. And the White Sox, Steve, did look good in Detroit, a three-game sweep. And I thought that they played well. And I understand Detroit is not the greatest, but they won those games. And it feels good again, you know, about a game under 500. Should White Sox feel good again just based on that series against Detroit?
Well, I think anytime you take a series, let alone sweep a series, you have to feel pretty good about it. There's been some series where the Tigers actually played very well against some pretty decent baseball teams. So when you win, it's almost a no-win situation for the ball club. When you beat a team like the Tigers, everybody says, well, they're the Tigers. Of course you're going to win. Well, that's not the case necessarily. They're a major league team that still has some guys, especially from the left side against a right-hand pitcher. They start six left-hand hitters, which gives certain right-hand pitchers some problems. And look, the Tigers are scuffling. There's no doubt about that. These are the teams that you have to take advantage of. And the Sox, moving forward, will have what everybody says is the easiest schedule in the major leagues. That being said, you still have to go out and beat people. But yeah, I mean, you have to take comfort in the fact that they did sweep the series. Now they come into Houston, have the off day yesterday, and they're playing a very good Houston team. I mean, this is a team that can hit the baseball, can throw it certainly, can field it very well. They don't make a lot of mental mistakes. Yordan Alvarez is just killing the ball since he signed that six-year extension. This is a guy that is a huge factor in each and every game. And when you're picking one guy that you try not to let beat you, he would be the guy. Even though there's some very talented Astros in this lineup, it would be that big left-hander in the middle that you try to pitch around if you can.
Oh, yeah. And their pitcher tonight, we'll talk about Lucas Giolito, obviously. They've got Framber Valdez going tonight, 6-3 with a 2.64 ERA, a lefty. What have you learned about him in your studies pregame for the White Sox tonight?
Well, I'm actually not doing the game tonight. It's on Apple TV, I believe. But having observed Framber Valdez over the years, he's got a wonderful curveball. It's very important for him to use that as his wipeout pitch. Mostly, especially when he gets ahead in the count, he likes to bounce that curveball, and the right-handers are going to have to lay off it because, number one, it has a very high spin rate. Number two, it looks desirable when it comes in and then just dips out of the zone. So if the right-handers can show some patience, they'll have a shot against him. This is a really comfortable right-hand hitter's ballpark if you can pull the ball. Normally against the left-handed breaking ball pitcher, you can pull the ball. The Crawford boxes, which are the short porch in left field, are very inviting if you can hit a fly ball that way. And as we know, the Sox have a lot of right-hand hitters, and hopefully they can get out, get on top early, and maybe Valdez won't have the great command of that curveball tonight. If he doesn't have the great command, he is vulnerable, but we haven't seen him vulnerable all that much.
That is true. That is true. And the White Sox do have the right man on the mound. I still considered Lucas Giolito to be the team's ace. What do you think about him and what his approach needs to be? And is there any concern with his spin rate being down a touch from last year?
Well, I think he's going to have to try to pitch around that or somehow acquire it back. What he has to do is concentrate even more on location. And what I talked about is sometime between starts, if things are not going as well as you would like, if your standard pitches aren't fooling people much, and again, Lucas has had a few hitters just sitting back waiting for that straight change. When they get it, they hit it pretty well. Still in all, he's done a nice job pitching without the best stuff that he's had. And sometimes you have to play invent a pitch. Sometimes you have to go out there. And with Lucas, I believe that would be a cutter, a cut fastball, because you're releasing it somewhere between a fastball and a slider. It moves straight across. You don't get the depth of a slider, but you do get it off the sweet spot of the hitter if he's guessing fastball. With Lucas's fastball somewhere between 93 and 94 miles an hour, he's not going to be able to overwhelm people with it, but that means he's got to hit his spots a bit better. Also, it means he's got to look for some movement, and I think the cutter would be an ideal pitch for him. I think it's something that he could literally acquire in a bullpen session, a side session. I think that that's something he ought to look into. I don't know what Ethan Katz has talked with them about. I do know they have a wonderful relationship going back through high school days, and I'm pretty sure that that he trusts Ethan to come up with a solution to things that have not been going as well as Lucas would have liked at this point.
Yeah, there's definitely a mutual trust just on the accounts that I have read between, you know, in particular with Ethan Katz, who cares about all of his starters. But, you know, obviously he and Lucas Giolito with the history, and I am confident. Like, I'm not worried. Like, I don't get worried about, in the long run, Stoney, with somebody like Lucas Giolito, just because I do put stock into what we know he is capable of, and that there are ways to adjust for Lucas Giolito for any of the White Sox, but like Dylan Cease, another guy who has struggled a little bit recently. I'm just not worried because I officially trust that those guys are good. Am I on the right path with that?
Well, certainly the guys are good or they wouldn't be in a major league starting rotation. And they do have, in the case of Dylan Cease, he has great stuff. And he's still a young enough pitcher to occasionally lose that fine pinpoint concentration that you need. And when that happens, we've seen things start to deteriorate for him. But the upside is phenomenal. As far as Lucas is concerned, he's a lot more. He's learned what it's like to pitch with a big fastball. He used to throw 100 miles an hour. Now he's learned what it's like to take 6-7 miles an hour off that fastball and have to adjust with what you have. But I saw Lucas in this same ballpark against this same team shut out the Houston Astros here at home. Houston Astros are a very good team at home. They're 16-10. Away, they're still a very good team at 23-14. But they have many more home games left than road games, which is for them a great thing because they're sitting 9 games ahead of the Texas Rangers to begin with. Houston's going to be fine. They're going to win their division. They should win it in a walk. It should be very easy to decimate what's left of the West. As far as the Sox are concerned, they're sitting there. They're 5 games back. They won 3 in a row, which we know. Minnesota has not been dominating things lately, but they've been playing pretty well. And as Buxton goes, so goes the Twins. If Buxton stays healthy, the Twins are going to be pretty good. Cleveland is playing good baseball. They're sitting right there in between our Sox and Minnesota. They're actually ahead in the loss column. They have one less loss than Minnesota. I think the starting rotation is going to be fine, especially with the reemergence of Lance Lynn. I expect him to get better with each and every start. And he'll have a tremendous advantage going forward in that he missed the first 2 months of the season. He won't get near as tired in the later stages of this year as he did last year. So I think that's a big plus, assuming that he gets his stuff back, and he's going to. He's going to pitch a whole lot better than he did last time out. But one of the big concerns, look, you know, everybody says, and fans get tired of hearing that, you know, boy, there's injuries, and we're going to use that as an excuse. The team is not really using that as an excuse. However, you have to face reality. Liam Hendricks just went down. Kyle Crick just went down. Seeming like every day you're getting another guy getting hurt. We thought the Tim Anderson deal was really difficult for the boys to overcome, but they've actually treaded water since Tim is gone, and he's not too far away from coming back. The loss of Hendricks is a huge loss. Let's hope that Joe Kelly and Kendall Graveman can pick up the slack, but Hendricks is one of those guys, you had the lead late, you give him the ball, and he gets the save, you win the game, everybody is really happy, and he's not going to be around for a while, and I'm not sure when he's going to be able to be back. He thinks he's targeting July 1st. We'll see. I always get a little queasy when I hear pitching forearm tenderness.
Ugh,
because
yeah.
that many times, and probably not the case in Liam's situation because he says he's not worried about it, but that is a precursor to Tommy John surgery. And let's hope that Liam can deal with this. Let's hope it doesn't go to that. But every time I hear that, I think, ooh, this is not good. Liam feels like he's going to be back. He says he's not too concerned. He's lived with this for quite some time. And let's hope that's the case.
Amen to all of that. And just hearing you say that, you know, tender elbow, like it, you're right. It just, that does not sound good. That is not what you want to hear about any pitcher. That's the voice of Steve Stone. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for the Dan Bernstein Show here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. On the offensive side, Steve, Yoan Moncada with the 5-hit, 5-RBI game Wednesday in Detroit. Should White Sox fans expect to see more like that out of Moncada? Is that the true Moncada? Is there still room for that ceiling of a player?
So you think he's going to go 5-for-5 every game?
Well,
I don't think so. I'm not sure that's necessarily the true Moncada. But look, because of his skills, and he does have some great skills. You hearken back to a couple of years ago, he was one of the top-rated third basemen in all of baseball. We've seen the defense come to play most every day. That is to his credit because he's played a pretty good defensive third base. As far as the offense is concerned, you know, you have to face reality. At times, he looks lost up there. That doesn't mean that he has to continue to be lost up there. We saw him start to swing the bat better from the right side, a few at-bats that looked really good. And then, of course, he hit the 3-run homer in the first inning in Detroit. And that was before they started using position players when they still had a pitcher out there. A pitcher, by the way, who was thrown very well. Fajardo had a very nice year up until that, and the boys just massaged him and knocked him out. But, yeah, that was a competitive at-bat. And hopefully, for the sake of this baseball team, Yoan Moncada can go back to what he was, which is the guy that punishes the baseball when it's in the zone. Again, he looked lost on a lot of pitches, especially his command of the outside corner. It didn't take a Rhodes Scholar to figure out, if you looked at each and every one of his at-bats, that pitchers were taking advantage of the outside corner to Yoan. And he did reach out, poke a couple of balls to left center field, which is a good thing, because if you keep hitting the ball away consistently enough, then pitchers are going to start to come inside, and that's the ball that you really want to you really want to take advantage of, because that's the one you can pull and hit out of the ballpark. So hopefully he is beyond his malaise at the plate. If that's the case, he adds a very good, solid switch hitter to the middle of that lineup. And hopefully Tony's faith, as far as hitting him close to the middle of the lineup on a daily basis, that will prove to be a very good thing, because he should be there. He can be there. He wasn't that kind of guy up until perhaps this last game or the game before that, where he looked like he was starting to get better at bats. But that's one of the keys to this team.
Absolutely. And I mean, I just remember when Moncada was a guy that people were talking about, you know, preseason favorite for potential MVP, and that he's the best of the bunch. And that's what I would love to see him get back to that place. In the meantime, one guy who has been particularly hot and just very useful with the Chicago White Sox is Danny Mendick. Is he homered again on Wednesday? What have you thought about his contribution?
Well, you can't understate really how valuable he's been in the absence of Tim Anderson. I mean, you're looking for an everyday shortstop. You're looking for a guy that makes all the routine plays and occasionally some very good plays. You're looking for a guy who is not going to be Anderson with the bat, because very few of the guys are Anderson in this league. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. But Danny has come in and done just an exceptional job. I mean, he's hit, he's driven in some nice runs, he's made most every play at shortstop, he's done everything that Tony and the coaching staff has asked of him. I think it's been a remarkable run. And if it serves to highlight a guy he is, I think at times when you have a guy who plays like Danny Mendick, where nothing really jumps out at you, you underestimate his abilities to help your baseball team. His type of player might not help an also-ran team, because he's not going to be an impact player on a daily basis. His type of player helps a team that fancies themselves as a contender. And Danny is one of those guys that you can plug in. He's going to make every play. He's not going to complain. He's going to hustle each and every day. He's going to be one of those guys, and I talked about it in a tweet yesterday. You know, when you take a look at a team and you evaluate a team, what has to happen is the whole has to be better than the sum of its parts, meaning this team as a team has to play better than when you break it down individually, because you break Danny down individually and he looks like a competent player who's good enough to be in the major leagues but not good enough to be an impact player. In reality, that type of player is an impact player on a good team. The Sox believe they are a good team. Now they're going to have to show it on a daily basis to the rest of baseball, because right now they believe they're a team that's under 500, which they are. They believe that this team is not going to live up to what people thought of them at the beginning of the year. And I take a look at this team, and I wish one thing for the front office and everybody that's worked so hard, including the coaching staff and the manager. I wish one thing for this team, that this team can be reassembled in the not-too-distant future with the vision that Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams had when they put this team together and came into this year, when injuries weren't there except for Garrett Crochet, which was devastating. People downplayed that. He was a dominating left-hander who could pitch multiple innings, and you lost him. We know how difficult it's been to fill that void, because we still don't have left-handers who can do that. And this was a guy that was lost, obviously, before the season started. Mm-hmm. So I want to see them reassembled into a team that was the team they envisioned when the season started. And to do that, you're going to have to get back the players, the walking wounded players who are nicked up, who've been lost for some length of time, who now have to come back and then try to get their rhythm back to play at the speed of a major league game. If they can do that, this team literally, and I know the fans are going to poo-poo this, but, you know, for 53 years I've been evaluating baseball teams. This team can beat anybody in baseball if they can get together with a starting rotation that they're going to have. Let's assume you only use four in the playoffs, and Johnny Cueto has done a great job. He would probably be the fifth man. But you got Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito and Dylan Cease and Michael Kopech, assuming they're healthy. That four, along with a bullpen that hopefully will come back together again, with a back end being Liam Hendricks, and then you got Joe Kelly to set up along with Kendall Graveman. Hopefully Aaron Bummer comes back, because he will be the best situational left-hander they have. Assuming everybody comes back, literally this team can beat anybody. Conversely, this team can lose in the first round. that's how balanced baseball is. I know everybody looks at the New York Yankees now and they say, well, that team is unbeatable, and for the most part they have been. This Sox team, decimated as it was, went in, took a doubleheader from the Yankees in New York. Not many people can do that. This team can show you how they can play when everything is working. Now, the key is to get everything working at the same time. And to do that, this team as a team, 26 guys in that dugout and that locker room have got to get together and start to believe that on a daily basis they can beat anybody. They have to believe that they will execute, that when the other team makes a mistake late in the game, this team will bury them with that mistake. But to do that, you have to pick up the baseball, stay close, and then let your talented players show their talent, especially seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. This team has to be specialists in winning the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. And only then will this team be able to accomplish what they were supposed to accomplish when this season started.
Yeah, and you nailed it, Steve, because that is why everything you just said, that is why it is so frustrating, because Sox fans have not jumped off the bandwagon, and that's because they know that the talent is absolutely real, and that they know that that's a great starting staff when healthy. They know that this could be a great offense with some serious thumpers when they are healthy, and that's what makes it so frustrating. Yet, as you said, Steve, still very possible for the White Sox, right? As they sit here, a game under 500, right?
After tonight, this team will have 100 games left. We have seen in baseball, we have seen a Philadelphia team with a 6.5 game lead with 10 games to go. They crumbled and they lost and they did not go on and they did not win the World Series. We've seen a Cub team in 1969, 9 or 9.5 games up in the middle of August, only to lose by 9 games. Mm. We've seen some strange things happen. And when you look at the standings right now and you see the Sox are 3 games in back of Minnesota with Cleveland in between them and the Twins, you realize that with 100 games left and a team that has not been fully assembled all year, that the talent is there. And it's not up to a manager. It's not up to the coaches to convince these guys they can play. These guys have to believe in themselves. There's enough talent in that 26 men in that locker room to be able to get this team over the hump. I've seen teams much better than this collapse. I've seen teams much worse than the Sox are go on and dominate and beat a whole lot of people they didn't think they could beat. And the key is absolute belief that they are not going to accept losing to anybody on a daily basis. And when the team gets that belief, it doesn't matter who else believes in them. The team gets that belief and they become very difficult to beat.
Steve, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And I assume that you will be back in the booth on Saturday then?
We're going to, Jason and I will reunite.
Yes.
A cheerful reunion. Certainly, we're going to be there tomorrow. We're going to do that game. It starts at 3 o'clock, both Chicago and Houston time. Hopefully, with one Sox win under their belt in this 3-game series. And, you know, look, it's easy to say, well, this is a measuring stick. It's not really. It's a series in the middle of the year in Houston. You'd love to win it. If you don't, it's not tragic. It'll just be part of the process. And then the Sox will come home and try to play some winning baseball against Toronto and Baltimore. Baltimore, by the way, playing some pretty good baseball. And, you know, that team that everybody kind of looked at and said, I don't think they're going to be too much. They're actually playing better baseball. But look to the also-rans. Look to, and I urge the fans, look to Detroit, Kansas City, Baltimore for sure, possibly Seattle with Haniger, certainly Oakland with Montas. Look for the teams that are right now trailing right now. This is not going to be their year. Look at Washington. If the Sox are looking for a pensman, Tanner Rainey, I've always liked a whole lot. But Cincinnati's got a starting pitcher or two. The Cubs will look to unload. As we get closer to the trade deadline, which, by the way, is August 2nd this year, you're going to see some real interesting movement.
Love it.
There's a lot of help for a lot of teams.
Ooh, I love it. That is juicy, Steve Stone. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Take care, Mark, and have a good rest of the show.
Yeah, you too. That's Steve Stone. I love that, man. He's talking trade deadline. That is juicy. Yeah, you could kind of look at it like fantasy baseball. You look go like Steve Stone said, the also-rans. go look on those rosters, build your team, get together with your friends, and make your picks. The fantasy baseball team of trades. Go look at those bad teams. You might have to sift through some really horrid baseball on the MLB package to watch the reliever or hitter that you're interested in, White Sox fan. But I think I will. I think I will go through that exercise. Coming up next, Joe Ostrowski, for whom we are going to be late. And I don't know, now that he's big time, he might be raging. He might be. We'll find out next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I have a daily sports betting show.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
Oh, yeah. He's got a lot of Herbert Hoover in him. I got to tell you that much.
Welcome back into the Dan Bernstein Show. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody filling in. It is Joe O-Time. Joe Ostrowski, host of BetQL Daily. Host of Early Odds every Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on The Score. And Joe O joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hello, Joe O. How are you?
Groats, not raging at all. You seriously asking me on a Friday if I'm mad that I'm not working more? No, I'm good. It's great to see you the other day. It's been a long, long time.
Oh, that's right. You were just in passing in the hallways. You were being...
That felt like 3 weeks ago.
It did, didn't it? And you were being whisked. Like, that is the very definition. Mitch Rosen had you.
Oh, God.
And he was just all over you. You were like his best friend, and nobody was going to get in his way. It's like, oh, hey, Groats, what's going on? You know this guy, right? Oh, hey, Joe! And you're just being whisked away from me. So... Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize you with the glasses. You had the whole look going on.
Oh, see, you're so nice. I did. I had the glasses and the hat. You didn't say anything about the extra 45 pounds? Nothing about that? Fine,
no, because you could come right back at me with that. So why would I say that?
Oh, that's right. We've had the fluctuator conversation. Yes. We've had the conversation. All right, let's do the gambling conversation. And we have closure on the NBA season. The Golden State Warriors are champs. They beat Boston last night in Game 6, 103-90. So give us some NBA Finals recap.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of different directions to take this. One thing that stands out is it didn't feel like it was chalky or heavy favorites, but when you look back at it, that's exactly what we saw. In the 15 series that we had, 13 of them, the favorite marched on, and one of them, I don't know if you want to count, because Utah was favored in the opening round against Dallas, and that was because the Luka injury was in question. So that really stood out to me, and a few different things did as well. Defensive efficiency. All the teams that were in the top, and we were left with 1-2 in defense this year playing for the title. The other teams that were near the top, all title contenders. It was Golden State, Boston, Phoenix, Memphis, Miami, Dallas. Mm. All in the running until the very end. And we know this is how the NBA is played. Something else that stood out. I mean, this series was about three-point shooting and turnovers on the Boston Celtics side. That's why they ended up losing that series. So that, I think that could be a takeaway. The experience in the end certainly helped the Warriors. Their veterans got better as the series moved along. And I think the opposite could be said for the Celtics. And from a betting perspective, something I've noticed in recent years, I mean, we've always said in the NBA, beginning of the season, maybe the list is five of teams that could win the title. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody had Boston in that short list, and we're seeing that with a bunch of sports. The Bengals made the Super Bowl. They were 100-1 before the season. At the trade deadline last year in Major League Baseball, the Braves were 50-1. A few years ago, we saw the Blues. They were like 300-1 in the middle of the season. So I like the parity that we're seeing. North Carolina, they were almost 200-1, and they ended up making it to the title game in college basketball. Yeah. So for betting and just for overall excitement, I think it's a very good thing that what we're seeing in sports.
It's very interesting. Yeah, it's not, it does make it more interesting. Maybe makes it a little bit harder too, because the team that you think is the best may not mm-hmm. be, and they may not even be in the picture, as you just did a great job of bringing to the audience here. So one of my favorite things, Joe O, in gambling is when a season ends, like we're all in the process of however you go about honoring a championship, whether it's in the city, they're celebrating here, you know, we touch on it, other places will go deep into it. There is already discussion of next year. In the midst of all that, the 2023 NBA odds already, in the midst of it all, what about next year, dare I ask?
Well, the Warriors are your favorite. Steve Kerr, a favorite to get the 10th championship of his life. That would make it 5-5. Five as a player, five as a coach, if it were to happen one more time. They put Boston as the second favorite, which you can kind of expect after the run that they took. I don't know that I would do that. They need to add a point guard, but they did. And then it gets really interesting, because at 7-1, they're going back to the Nets after they were swept out in the first round due to the superstars. And the Clippers are also 7-1. I don't know. Are we ever going to see Kawhi Leonard play again? But people are probably going to bet on them. Milwaukee also in the team picture with Phoenix at 9-1. So the Bulls number people are wondering about is 66-1. They are the 15th favorite overall, right there in the middle blob of the NBA. They are six on the odds board to come out of the Eastern Conference.
Last thing for you, Joe, and it is a baseball thing. What's it like? What's the gambling world like when it's a baseball game and it's a team like the Cubs that's lost 10 in a row that's playing a team like the Braves that have won 14 in a row? How does one go about attacking that from a gambling perspective?
People love to bet on streaks, and we've seen a ton of them throughout the league. I mean, Yankees, recent memory of the number of weeks, I think they have one loss. The Phillies went on an incredible streak after they moved on from Joe Girardi. Pittsburgh, we know about the Cubs, you just mentioned. The Cubs, they've lost 10 straight games. But Groats, not only is it 10 consecutive losses, nine of those 10 losses have been by more than a run. So in the betting world, that matters, because you can bet on the run line and get much more value if you're betting against the Cubs. And the Braves, during their 14-game win streak, they are just mashing the ball. They have 35 home runs during that span. The Detroit Tigers have 31 homers this year in 63 games, and the Braves have hit 35. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see a lot of bombs out of the Braves this weekend.
Well, and then, you know, Keegan Thompson, all of a sudden, Joe, not looking like a starter for your Chicago Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking the same thing. And the White Sox, an automatic play for years that many people roll with, White Sox against a left-handed pitcher. Now they get a good one tonight, but the White Sox are an underdog with Lucas Giolito on the bump. And even though at times they've had their offensive issues, they're number one in OPS, number one in batting average, hitting .296, number one weighted runs created plus against lefties this season. So maybe the White Sox can pull off the upset tonight.
Be nice to see for the Sox. They've won three in a row, and you just mentioned people love streaks. Let's see if the White Sox can get on one of those. Joe, it was wonderful to see you. I hope that next time I see you, it won't be so whiskey. but you know what? I can't control everything in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Joe? I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. Hang out sometime in our life moving forward.
I would love to, Joe. Oh, you're the best, man.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah,
bye.
You too. That is the one and only Joe Ostrowski. I have to actually read his title just because there's so much going on. Joe Ostrowski. He is the host of BetQL Daily, the host of Early Odds every Saturday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on The Score. I am Mark Grody, filling in on the final edition of the Dan Bernstein Show. We will take a break right now. Coming up, amongst other things, Lawrence Holmes is going to be here in studio. We'll go to a lot of people are talking about Lawrence Holmes. So I think that will I be the first person to get to talk to you about this live on The Score? Yes, a huge move being made by The Score. So we'll talk about that with Lawrence Holmes in a little bit here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Dan Bernstein Show, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What's up, Mark Grody on The Score? I was listening to Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on The Score the other day. It's a Cubs game. It's a Cubs-Padres. Yeah, it's a Cubs-Padres game. Had those two guys in my ear. Yes, I did. The buds were in, and I was listening to Pat and Ron call a Cubs game. And I don't really think I need to do a lot of buildup to this, only to tell you that eventually you will hear Pat Hughes tell a joke.
Nomar Mazara, the batter. Mazara, the former White Sox and Texas Ranger. When you're talking about a former guy that played for the Chicago White Sox, is that acceptable to call him a former White Sox? Singular? I'm just asking.
I don't see why not.
There's a drive foul down the right field line. Zach Zaidman quickly Googling whatever information he can.
I always like to go with former White Sox outfielder Nomar Mazara.
But how about if you don't have time to add all of those extra letters and you want to economize?
That's why you're you and I'm me.
Former White Sox. It's all right. Everybody knows he still wears two pairs of socks, and there's multiple guys in the team.
Unless, of course, you're a former Red Sox. Here's a pitch inside for ball one to Nomar Mazara.
You don't think they still wear socks?
There was an old joke, and I hesitate to tell it, but why not? We're among friends.
Yeah, a million of us all hanging out here.
One ball and one strike on Mazara. Check swing. It's going to be a strike. Okay, there was a game between the White Sox and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Who won?
The Sox.
No. Neither team. The Nylons. They get the most runs in them.
Oh. The Nylons won.
There you go. Oldie, but sort of a goodie. One and two on Nomar Mazara.
It's an oldie, all right.
Yeah. You had heard it before, Zach?
No.
Well, then why'd you call it an oldie? You haven't heard it. I just want a clarification. Well, last night's game was 3 hours and 46 minutes. You learn how to fill time on these broadcasts occasionally. Deep fly ball to right. That's trouble, and that's going to be a two-run homer for Nomar Mazara. Again, the wind is blowing to right. And that definitely was wind-aided. A two-run homer, and just like that, the Padres take a 2-1 lead.
Man, after all of that, it's a Nomar Mazara home run. Like, that was so perfect in so many ways, because when the team is going through a bad period, or if your team is bad, you definitely need to change the tone of the broadcast and find different ways to explain things or to entertain the people or to inform the people. And it was like a microcosm of everything. Here's an entertaining broadcast for you, but the product's not real good, as you can hear right at the end of this promotional clip. All that stuff, the jokey joke, hilarious. I was laughing out loud when I listened to it, and I was laughing out loud when I listened to it again here on the radio. So that is it. That is it. And then Nomar Mazara, which will ring a bell with all Chicago sports fans, that definitely is just perfect perfect for the Cubs, and that was Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Zach Zabin, and they all made me laugh. I'm taking a break because coming in here next, he will be a big part of the brand new lineup at the Score. He is one of the centerpieces for the new lineup here at the Score. He is Lawrence Holmes. He will be live and in person on the Score next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.